Welcome to the National Geographic Reach podcast series. I am Barbara Quincer-Coulter, Director of Research and Professional Development at National Geographic School Publishing. Our guest today is Dr. Sylvia Linen Thompson, Associate Professor and Fellow at the University of Texas at Austin. Dr. Linen Thompson has developed and examined reading interventions for struggling readers who are monolingual English speakers, English language learners, and bilingual students acquiring Spanish literacy. Our topic today is fluency and the fact that fluency is more than reading quickly. Sylvia, it's great to have you here today to focus on the importance of fluency instruction, especially for English language learners. To help our listeners get on the same page, can you define fluency for us?
Sure. Well, when we think about fluency, we have to consider the three parts. Fluency includes reading accurately, reading with expression, and at a good rate. And it's all of these three things together that make up or what we would call fluency. Unfortunately, in the last few years, people have tended to focus on rate and thinking that it's just about reading fast and that that's the crucial part of it. And while it's an important part of reading fluency, it's not the only part.
You used a great analogy in your monograph about riding a bike and comparing it to rate. Can you expand on that?
Sure. One of the things that we have to understand, and it's very hard when we know how to do things automatically, but as we're learning a new task or a new skill, our attention is diverted between two things. So in reading, we're diverting between decoding and trying to understand. But to better understand how this would happen, if you can think back to when you were learning to ride a bicycle, you might remember that very early on, all your concentration was just on staying on the bike and staying balanced and moving forward. And so all of your energy went into that. But as the pedaling and the balance became a lot more automatic, then you were able to relax a little bit. And then at that point, you can talk to your friend you're riding with or look around and really enjoy the bicycle ride. And that's the case with children as they're learning to read. Very early on, when they're just developing those decoding skills, all of their effort has to go into decoding those words and into trying to figure out what the sounds are. And so there's really not so much enjoyment and really not a lot of attention to comprehension. But as that process becomes automatic, the decoding, which is the accuracy part, then the speed will build up, and that's the rate. And once those two things are in place, then definitely that's when we start to hear the expression, because then that begins to show us the interaction with the reader and the text. So, you know, if it's a question that they're reading, we'll hear the intonation change, or if there's an exclamation point, we may hear them change their tone in response. And so while there's a little bit of a sequence in how those three go together, when we've reached fluency, when we have fluent readers, we will see all those three things in place.
Do all students need reading fluency practice?
No. All will need it initially, so in first grade and second grade, because, as I mentioned, that's when they're building decoding skills. And they need the fluency practice for two reasons. One is practice. They need to practice reading. That's how things become more automatic. And so the more opportunities they have to read words they know, words that they're almost learning, you know, that they kind of know, that's what will build up the automatic recognition. So beginning readers do. However, once students become fluent, once they're reading with ease, it's not as necessary. And for children that are reading at grade level or well above grade level or, you know, above the metric that you're using in your district, then they don't need fluency practice. But children who still have not reached it, who are still not automatic in their reading, should get fluency practice until they become fluent readers.
Thanks, Sylvia. And what about our English language learners? Do they need anything different in the area of fluency?
When we're thinking purely about fluency, the answer is no. Like all learners, they need to develop decoding skills and have multiple opportunities and exposure to words so that the word recognition becomes automatic. But as teachers, we have to be aware of two things when it comes to thinking about fluency rate and English language learners. The first is that one of the things that we have become very good at in the last few years is teaching all children to learn to decode. And English language learners, like many other children, can learn to decode. But the problem becomes if we start thinking of fluency as a proxy or an indicator of comprehension, that's where the difference kicks in for English language learners. Because while they may be able to decode, they may not understand or know all the words that they are reading. And so they may, that connection between fluency and comprehension isn't as clear. So one of the things that would be a good idea is anytime students are reading text, whether it's for fluency or some other instructional objective, is to make sure they understand what the words are. And ask children, were there any words in here that you didn't understand? And maybe even have a little discussion about what they read so that it's not just an exercise in calling words, but rather that they really are also making the connection to understanding what they read.
And it's great to have you expand on that link between fluency and comprehension. What can our educators do to ensure that they are effectively teaching fluency?
Well, when we think about fluency instruction, there's three pieces that it has to have in order for us to really call it fluency building or fluency building instruction. And the first one is modeling. We want children who are having difficulty with fluency or who haven't yet developed fluency have an idea of what it sounds like. And so the first part is always to have somebody model. And the model can be done by the teacher. It can be by a peer who is a better reader. It can be done through audio cassettes. But the idea is that the children have a model and sort of a link or can link to what they should sound like. And so the second part is feedback, because particularly with struggling readers, what we don't want, especially if they're reading the same text over and over, is to practice incorrectly, because it's much more difficult to change a habit than it is to build it correctly. And so especially initially, the first couple of times that they're reading a text, it would be preferable to do it with a teacher or a peer than obviously an audio cassette that may not be able to provide that immediate feedback. And so along those lines, one of the things that it would be important is the text that you pick. So fluency building should always be done where the text is at the reader's independent or instructional level. Their independent level is a level that they can read easily. It might even be something that they've read before. But if we remember when we talked about automaticity, if we want them to move forward, then they can't be spending too much time trying to decode, because that then will defeat the purpose of building the automaticity. So we want the text to be at the independent and instructional level, and so we want them to be have a lot of practice, but we also want somebody to be there to give them corrective feedback in case they make an error so that they recognize it and keep track of it. And then the final part of it is we want to be able to monitor progress. And again, this is something the children can do themselves. They can have graphs of, you know, how many words correct they read on any given day. And this helps them see that they're moving towards a goal as well. And so, again, to recap the three pieces you have to have, first, somebody models what we want them to read, give them corrective feedback as they're reading, and then monitor their progress so that they can see that they're moving towards their goals.
Those are great concrete examples that will support educators in the area of fluency. So as we wrap up this podcast, what advice and or questions do you want to leave with our listeners so they can continue to develop fluency with their students?
Well, I think there's two things that are important. The first one is that fluency is necessary to develop good readers, but it's not sufficient. And again, I just want to mention, while there's been a lot of emphasis put on reaching oral reading fluency benchmarks, and those are important indicators for teachers to know whether children are on track or not, it's not enough. And I will just mention again that with English language learners in particular, it can be deceptive for two reasons. The first one is that they may be reading fluently, but as I mentioned before, they may not be understanding everything they are reading. And so we have to make sure that we're building their language, that we're working on those comprehension strategies, and that they really are understanding. The second part is sort of the reverse or the other side of the coin, which is some children may not read very fluently, but they're actually understanding. And again, with English language learners, it may be the case that as they're reading, they are still translating into their home language and translating back. And so what this is telling us is that they're actually trying to interact with the text, but because they're having to switch back and forth with language or trying to recall meanings of words, they might actually read a little slower. And so that this might also may look to a teacher like, oh, they're, you know, below on their fluency, when in fact they actually are doing a better job at understanding and are in some ways better readers than children that may read faster. So to really think about and get to know students so that you have a good idea of what those fluency scores mean.
Thanks, and I think both of those examples will really provide a lot of opportunities for educators to continue to talk about fluency. And I think they have a better understanding with what you presented today that fluency is really more than just reading quickly. So thanks so much for your time today, Sylvia.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to our National Geographic Reach podcast series. For more information, check out the National Geographic Reach Professional Development website for additional tools and ongoing support to address the needs of the students in your classroom.